Hallelujah. So go ahead and get started tonight. I can't really think about anything else except continuing thoughts from this morning. That's where I'm living right now. So open up again to Luke. We'll start in Luke chapter 1 this time. You can put a marker over in Isaiah 55. In my Christian life, I've heard all kinds of good theories. I have theories of my own. You know, I've had theories. Some of those get washed away as you grow. I think we're going to have so much growth. And I hate to say over the next few years. I don't know if it might be months. That our thinking is going to become so transformed so rapidly that we'll look back on these days and wonder how we was able to walk without walking into walls. I mean, I'd say, how could we have ever been so dense? I'm going to say it another way. How could we have been so full of unbelief? Because what he keeps saying is coming is so radically different than what we have. God has not changed his mind. Have you noticed one thing about God? He is persistent. He is not a quitter. I don't care if it takes 6,000 years, he is going to have his way. Amen. Don't care if it takes an eternity, he's going to have his way. Which reminds me again of another couple of words that we've been given this year. This one came on January 5th. It says, my plans have not and will not change regarding the mission of the Family Prayer Center. No matter who stays or goes, no matter what you think is right or wrong here, it does not change my plan for you or the body of the Family Prayer Center. Obedience is all I need. I love how he phrases this, we will have our revival. Lord, every day we are closer than before. God's persistent. He has not changed his mind. In the beginning, he assigned Adam and Eve to rule and reign over this planet. And even though they blew it, thousands of years later, here comes the Lord Jesus, the second man, the last Adam. And now he has a bride called the Bride of Christ. And how many of you know the Lord, the Father's plan is still going to come to pass? The last Adam and his bride are going to rule this earth. Even in a new heaven and then a new earth too. See, but God doesn't quit. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't, when the going gets tough, he doesn't bail. We have that in our nature also. No matter what the devil throws, see. Okay. One other one here. This one came January 5th through somebody else, a different voice, but the same Holy Ghost. Said, the purpose will come to pass for what the prayer center has been directed to do. Now, these are two different people on the same day. Neither one of them knew what the other one said, what the other one heard. Let me say that sentence again. The purpose will come to pass for what the prayer center has been directed to do. There has been an assignment given to not just this group, but the assignment that has been given to the prayer center family. It is the ones around anywhere who have attached themselves to the standards of prayer and fasting. But not just the standards of prayer and fasting, but of not pursuing your own ministry, your own dreams, but also standards of laying your life down, of not building something of men, and that type of thing. If you have been attached to us, either by your heart or by God's will, attached to this assignment, it is moving forward. It has made leaps and bounds over the last few years. You got to look at that with the eye of faith, don't you? Unseen leaps and bounds the last few years. I need to say that again. The assignment that God gave has progressed in leaps and bounds over the last few years, and it is going to be completed. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Don't listen to failure or defeat, because it is not true. Keep moving forward, because in you is something precious that is being built that you carry with you everywhere you go. He is seeking for a revival of love, of integrity, of sincerity, of holiness, a revival of God's power, a revival of God's heart. And it may seem like the length of time to get there may look like it is because it is not working. But it is. If you just look inward, you will find out that it is. Hallelujah. I think we're not supposed to quit. I don't know. I'm starting to get a clue from these prophecies. There's something in there. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by the circumstances. And don't be moved by your emotions. What God has said shall come to pass. All right. So Luke chapter 1, where we were this morning. In the King James, and I love the King James. And again, this is the account that Luke gave when the angel Gabriel came and spoke that supernatural word to Mary. That she, as a virgin, would conceive a baby in her womb without ever knowing a man first. Now, in the history of the world, I mean from Adam and Eve on, in the history of the world, nothing like that had ever happened before. If she's going to go by the council of elders, if she's going to go by the council of synagogue, if she's going to go by written history, if she's going to go by experience of the human race, she had a word from God that's impossible. The title of this morning's message is Impossible with Men, Possible with God. See? Absolutely impossible. And she said, well, how could this happen? She wasn't really denying that it could. She just says, well, I've never heard of such a thing, basically. And the angel, a little earlier here, he explained to her, let's see now, how shall this be? And the angel answered, verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, I want you to know that, notice the involvement of the Holy Ghost. Within the last 2 weeks, the way these lessons have been coming forward, remember when he took us again to Luke 11? Lord, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And the reason they were wanting to do that, they'd see Jesus go off and spend all night in prayer or times with his Father. And well, he'd go pray and they'd notice when he come back, pow, zam, pow, whoop. All kinds of miracles would happen. Bang, pow, splat. Blind eyes and open the ears and legs grow out. And they're going, teach us to pray. And so he does. And at the end of it, he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit? And he was revealing right there that the Holy Spirit is the manifester of answered prayer. Now, the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of your Father. Isn't that right? The Spirit of your Father. It is the hand of the Father outstretched, if you'll allow me. He is the molecule changer, see? So, she asked this angel, well, how in the world could this happen? Well, in the world, it can't happen. According to natural means and natural history, everything we know in our three-dimensional world, our three-dimensional universe, it's impossible. But he's saying, basically, but you're forgetting about the Holy Ghost. So look what he says here. Verse 35, the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost. Everyone say, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See, when the Holy Ghost gets involved, nothing is impossible. I say again, I'm not really ready to teach on this in completeness, but we live in a three-dimensional fallen world. This is not the world that the Father originally created. It is a fallen creation, groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. this earth is not the way God created it. And the physics that we live under, they are the physics. Trust me, I'm not preaching that you should go jump off the pinnacle. You'll go splat on the concrete unless God told you to jump off it, see? And the Holy Ghost gets involved. We live in this three-dimensional world with the physics that we have. And under normal circumstances, that's what we're bound by. I'm telling you right now. Remember Dave tells us about that preacher friend of his that got all dressed up and ready to go preach, and he had his suit and tie on at the motel, and he's walking out, headed to go to the car, and he's walking right by the swimming pool. And he says, I'm going to take it on. You remember? Decided to try and walk across the water. Had to go back in and change his suit and his shoes. Now, if God the Holy Ghost, if you're doing something on a mission or an assignment from God and God the Holy Ghost gets involved, you will be able to walk on the water. Because he is not bound by the physics of this world. He is from another realm. I'm searching for terms. I don't really like the word dimension, universe. I don't like that either. For right now, I'm just going to stick with the realm. Another realm. And it's where God lives. It's at least the third heaven, because Paul talks about being caught up to the third heaven. So it's not the air we breathe. It's not outer space. It's somewhere other than that. Okay? Okay, enough of that. Otherwise, we'll get into mathematics and... Okay. But it's the power of the highest as manifested through the Holy Ghost. So let's get to our verse. I'm going to run out of time. Verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, in the original Greek, there's a little more than that. And the Amplified brings that out. From the Amplified version, it says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible. Okay, that's pretty much what we got in the King James. But there's an and. And no word from God shall be without power. Whew. Or impossible of fulfillment. I'm going to say it again. No word from God shall be without power. When I think of that, that's Mark 4. The sower soweth the word. The word is like a seed. See, you understand, we all understand seeds. Every seed has within it the power to reproduce the image that is contained on the inside of the seed. But we all know also that seed, I've read where archaeologists have dug up, they've discovered the tombs of the kings, and they buried them with all these hermetically sealed, I don't know if that's right, but anyway, sealed pots, and some of them would have seed in there. You know, they thought, well, he might need seed in the other life or something. So they store seed, and some of that seed has been sealed up airtight 3,000 years, and they wondered, would it grow? So they planted some of it, and you know what? The seed still grew. I think from God's point of view, he has given a seed for everything we could ever need. And he's going, how long are they going to keep it sealed up in these little airtight jars called humans? We don't really plant it in our heart. We don't water it. We don't weed it. We don't hoe it. We don't do any of the things that we would do with any other seed. We just say, we lay it on the coffee table after church, or leave it in the back seat of the car, and we'll say, looking for that harvest. And it's not going to happen if we don't plant the seed, just like Jesus was talking in Mark chapter 4. See, and it's never a problem with the seed. God's word is perfect. Okay, again, I doubt we'll come back there, but go to Isaiah 55 again. Let's look at how God describes his word. To me, Isaiah 55 is the perfect parallel and to a big portion of Mark 4. He's describing how his word works, and he's also telling us that he's from a realm different from where we are, and he's not bound by the same laws of physics that we are. So Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and boy they are, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then he tries to give us something so familiar to each and every one of us. As I'm speaking, we can still hear, for benefit of those watching, we can still hear thunder rumbling in the distance. You know, the rain has been coming down from heaven. It's a good day to preach this, okay? And it's springtime. Everything is coming forth. Everything is budding, all right? For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, let's just stop for a minute. Let's don't go in any further. Okay, now, he's getting it down so simple. This is like Jane see the ball when you're elementary school. He says, have you ever seen rain? Yes. I actually have. I've seen rain. You know? He said, what happens after a good rain in the springtime? Oh, it waters the earth and these seeds that have been laying dormant in the ground, they get vitality from that rain. It energizes them, and those seeds, they spring, and we get life. We get these beautiful flowers and the plants and everything comes forward, and corn and crops. It's not just for beauty. It's food, you know. And God says, and you see how the rain works. The rain produces what I sent it to do. Does it do it every time? Yes. Does it ever not do it? No. Has it been doing it for a long time? Yes, since the flood of Noah. First time it rained. Yes. He says, my word is like that. My word is like that. It will never fail. It will bring life. My word will bring life. You gotta let my word come down like the rain. It will bring life to you. Your garden can grow. You can have a crop. You can have a harvest. What do you need, God's going? What do you need? As the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's Mark 4. Let's go to Mark 4 for a minute. Let's look at that. Because Isaiah didn't go into so much of what the enemy would do to stop this. See, the enemy knows that is such an ironclad promise. He knows that there is no ruining of God's word. There is no destruction of it. He can't stop it. He can't remove the power from it. He can't change the image that's in it. He knows he can't do any of that. So since he can't change the seed, guess what he works on? The ground. Hello, ground. You are the ground, not your coffee table, not the back seat of your car. Wherever it is you keep your Bible, it is you. We are the soil. Okay? So Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 14, I guess, says, the sower soweth the word. Yes, sir. Now, he is not just talking about the written word. Mary did not have, well, okay, I've got to say that again. I started to say Mary herself did not have a prophecy concerning her herself until the angel came. The angel came with the prophecy. But there was a word given hundreds of years before through the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz. And we looked at that this morning. If you want to look at it later, I've got it here on the page. It's Isaiah 7:14. The Lord told Ahaz, he says, just ask of me a sign and I'll give it to you, so you'll know what I'm saying is true. And Ahaz says, no, I'm afraid to ask. So God says, okay, I'll give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and will bear a child. Of course, modern religion hates that so much, you know, the mind of man. There are actually translations. I try and think about this. Educated people that educate themselves beyond all reasoning. And you can purchase it. I mean, they have their name on it, you know, published by. And it says, the way they translated that verse is, oh, and a young woman shall become pregnant. I'm going, boy, that's a sign right there. Nobody's ever seen that before. Lord, how can you let your... What is that? Educated beyond all intellect. something. I don't know. And I'm all for education. Don't get me wrong. But I like Holy Ghost education, and I like real education. I like real science. I really do. In my mind, science will always agree with God. The real science will always agree with God because God created everything, you know. And when the two don't agree, science will eventually catch up. Job knew before scientists did that Job knew that God hung the world on nothing. He knew that before the scientists did, you know. Anyway, that's a whole nother deal. I love science when it's real science. Try and tell me I came from no monkey. You know, something is flawed with your science. That does not agree with God. You're wrong. Sorry. Okay, that's a whole nother deal. Mark 4. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. So she had a word, all right. She had a word from Isaiah, all the way from Isaiah, hundreds and hundreds of years before that the angel Gabriel appeared to her. And it said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That word had been spoken by God's prophet on the earth, and it was here like a dormant seed for hundreds of years, just like the ones in the Pharaoh's thing. There it was, though, full of life, full of potential. And then finally the time came. When the angel Gabriel came, then he made a personal word. See, it's one thing to have a word, and it's another thing to have a personal word where God comes. Now, let me ask you, when Gabriel speaks those words, let me back up. When Isaiah, a man, not an angel, when Isaiah spoke that word to King Ahaz hundreds of years before, was that any less the word of God than the written word of God? It was not any different. It is God speaking. We have it now in written form, but they didn't have it in written form then. It was a fresh word. When you get a real prophecy, not a parking lot one, a real one. How does Dave say that? We had so many parking lot prophets here for a while, that false anointing oil nearly repaved our parking lot out there. You know. But when you get a real word from the Lord, a real prophecy, whether you hear him directly yourself, whether it comes through a prophet, whether it comes through like Pastor Dave or somebody and it's real, that's no different than if Jesus walked up, tapped you on the shoulder and said, "Hey, I've got a word for you." That's no different. That's your life right there. If you're his disciple, you know, I'm going to just draw an extreme. I'm just making something up. Don't send me no letters. I'm trying to make a point. I'm 67. Right now, I live in Oklahoma. I like living in Oklahoma. As far as I know, we're living in pretty good obedience to what he's told me to do. But if in prayer, when I'm in prayer and fasting, and when it's real, if an angel came to me, or somehow I received a word that I knew was God, and he says, "You shall move to Zambia." I think it's in Africa, right? Zambia. "You shall move to Zambia and spend out the last of your days serving me there. Buddy, we're having a garage sale the next week." And if he says do it now, we're having a garage sale. That's it. We're getting ready to go to Zambia. And I would hate that. And I don't think he will send me. It's too far from my grandchildren. I got great grandchildren maybe coming soon, you know. But I'm just saying, if that's really him. And if I have free will. I don't have to obey that, but I will obey it. Think I spent all these years seeking his will to disobey him now? I belong to him. He saved me from hell. I love my kids and my grandkids, but they didn't die for me. He died for me. Amen? When it's really a word from him, it's just as much the word of God as what you're holding in your hand. It's him. And if it's not him, it's not a real prophecy. Okay, we're going to go through Mark 4 quickly. That's really not the lesson today. "These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, one of the other gospel writers added a little bit to that helps me. They said, "when they understand it not." That's how Satan comes immediately to steal it. That's pretty easy. When Sue and I first started coming to the prayer center, in those days, Dave didn't have all the nice parables that he has now. We didn't have Nerd Boy and Piranha Fish and Chuck the Duck and all of those things to help us understand what he was saying. And he would teach like 14 miles over my head. I did not understand hardly anything the man was saying. It was like one lady said, it's like trying to take a drink from a water hydrant. You know, it's just so much so quick you couldn't possibly digest it. And so I'm sure Satan stole I'd come and have a wonderful service. It'd be a wonderful service. And that love and that anointing would wash over us, and that humor would help. And we'd be driving home, you know, and I'd say, Sue, honey, are you better? She'd go, yes. I said, I am too, but I don't know why. Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of it we didn't understand, and Satan comes immediately and steals that word, okay? So what do you do with that? You keep coming. And I would get those tapes back in those days, cassette tapes. Literally, I would play them 10 times, 15 times. I mean, I'm just not going to quit till I understand it. Sometimes I'm one of those. It helps me to transcribe, to do it myself. It doesn't help to read your transcription. I have to transcribe it. Whatever works for you, whatever it takes, do that. Some people, anyway, they play it all night long. You know, that never worked for me much, but some people tells me that really helps them. So whatever works for you. Okay, these are likewise, verse 16, that are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution ariseth, for what sake? He is trying to stop the harvest. Here we would say he's trying to stop the revival. The ground is not really the target, although the ground is the one that suffers the brunt of the onslaught. But the ground is not the target. The harvest is the target. See? So persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake. He's trying to stop you. Hear what he's been saying for this discouragement. And he's trying to discourage you in everything. What I'm finding talking with people, it's not just emotional things. I mean, it's like I lost my job and my car quit and my family is sick and my kids are fighting and it's everything you can think of. And it's all designed to stop the harvest. Stop the revival, see. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world. One of the translations says something like, the busyness of everyday affairs. And to be honest with you, in my life, I find that to be the biggest thief of all. Just the busyness. You can get so busy doing good things that you never wind up doing God things. I'm going to go ahead and read this. I hesitate because I know I'll get letters from somebody. You always get, no matter what you do, you get letters, you know. But I do have a nice round filing can for those. This is from, for my daily meditations, one of the things I have as an app on my phone is something called God Calling. It's been around a long time. I'm not saying everything on every page is exactly God, but these people, they heard a lot of good things from the Lord. And I like looking at them every day. This one to me that came on March 20th, the title they put on it is Help from Everywhere. Help from Everywhere. And this one, I was thinking, to be honest with you, about the Flatlanders, which you haven't taught on that yet. And some of you look at me like that were here last week and know a little bit what I'm talking about. But we get so caught up in, yes sir, it goes perfect with today's title. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Okay? He can do things that we can't do. He's from a realm that we don't live in. He's not bound by the physics we're bound in. But our tendency, just like it says here in Mark 4, is to get so caught up with the daily affairs of life. We get busy doing our things. We have little time to think about Him and His things. So this one that came on March 20th, and he says, it's like the Lord speaking to a child. And he says, your foolish little activities are valueless in themselves. And I'm thinking of, you remember the Flatlanders? Can that camera see the circle? Can it see the circle here? Where I'm standing is a circle. I'm still not really ready to teach this, but if there was such a thing as a two-dimensional universe, see, we live in a three-dimensional universe where we have not only dimensions this way and this way, what, width and length, we also have height. But if you were a flatlander, let's say like the floor would be the flatland, okay? All right? And you can move anywhere on that, but you can't go vertical at all. You have no concept of vertical. There's no such thing as that. In your universe, there are only two dimensions. So you want to travel from where you are over here, and you're a flatlander. Now, you can't look at me because I have vertical height. You'd be like a dot on the floor. A flatlander would be a dot on the floor, okay? And you want to go to the center of that circle. But see, when you got to the edge of the circle, to you, that's a barrier. And you could go all the way around it. And how are you going to penetrate that? There is no vertical. You can't climb over it. You can't tunnel under it. There's no windows. There's no doors. There's this barrier called a circle. You can't do anything about it. You get all your friends. They can't do anything about it. And see, and we immediately think, because we live in a three-dimensional world, well, all of you pile up together and climb over, get a ladder. No, no, there's no thinking like that in flatland. But we're a three-dimensional being. We're from a whole different realm than them. And somehow we're able to see this, and we see their dilemma, and we're a merciful person. And we watch them and go, they will never make it. And see, if the center of that circle is revival, at the center of it's revival, and we're looking, we're going, if they keep doing things the way they know how to do it, they will live and die. And they'll never get to the center of that circle. We're sitting here thinking, you know, my ways are higher than their ways. My thoughts are higher than their thoughts. You know, if they would ask me for my help, if there was a legal way, now we're talking about prayer, if there was a legal way that I could, without violating my own word, if there was a legal way that I could help them, one of those legal ways is His word. You have to cooperate with His word because He cannot violate His own word. Another one is faith. Another one, big one, is faith. Somehow He can't do it unless you think He can do it. Think, that's not the right word. Believe He can do it. That's the better word. You can't, all things are possible to Him that believes, okay? But see, there's a legal aspect too. What things soever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So somebody says, a little flatlander says, I believe there's a three-dimensional being out there. I'm asking you, can you help us? Please help us. And for him, it's the easiest thing in the world, isn't it? How hard would this be? Reach down, get the little flatlander, pick him up, put him over the wall. And he may not take him all the way to revival. But he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. What you can't do for yourself, I will do for you. I'm going to get you over the wall and set you down. To everybody else, when that happened, he disappeared. During that time he went vertical, they have no concept of that at all. The guy disappeared. Whoa. When he reappeared on the other side, it was whoa again, you know. And Philip was found at Azotus. You remember that? Yeah. Philip was found at Azotus. God went, whoosh, boing. And from God's point of view, we're all going, I can hardly breathe because it's such a... And God's going, please, this is not hard for me. When are we going to learn to cooperate with this God? The one that's, He loves us. He's made every provision for us. His word, somehow, and it's not just His word, because nearly every American has His word somewhere in the house. But not all of them have His word in their heart. See, somehow, this word is a gateway between two worlds. Worlds I don't like. Between two realms. His word is a conduit. And Jesus is the word made flesh. That's why everything we do is in His name, or you could say in the name of the word. We're getting out there a little bit. Are you okay? You okay? Can you understand the concept? So when that kind of thinking has been in my mind, and then I read this, from God Calling, March 20th. Your foolish little activities are valueless in themselves. And I'm thinking about the Flatlanders who cannot penetrate the circle. Well, here's Gary, though, in my three-dimensional world, and I can't open blind eyes. I can't remove the cancer. There was a man in the prayer line today. If it was in my power, I would have already done it. I'd remove that cancer from him. Wouldn't you? Sure you would. I think our God would, too. That's where we're coming. He says, your foolish little activities are valueless in themselves, seemingly trivial or of seemingly great moment. All deeds are alike if directed by me. Just cease to function except through me. This is Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I that live. It's not... Okay, let's just go there. Put a marker in Mark 4. We may come back. I kind of doubt it. We're 5 minutes away. Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20. I don't want to misquote it. Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I'm not living my own life anymore. He could. Paul has free will, free choice, but he's trained himself for years not to eradicate his will, but to submit his will. And he found out the secret. It's Paul that taught us the most that we know about praying in other tongues and what all it does. John G. Lake wrote in his memoirs, in his book, he says, I discovered that those tongues, that those heavenly utterances that I would say during the night, that was the source of the revelation knowledge that I walked in. Dave isn't the first one to discover this. Now, Dave, I think, discovered more of it than anybody. That's what it's saying here. He says, just cease to function except through me. Jesus said that about himself all the time. He says, the Son of himself can do nothing. He says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, there it is. Just cease to function except through me. And then I love this analogy. I am your Lord. Just obey me as you would expect a faithful, willing secretary to carry out your directions. It makes it sound so simple. Whatever the Lord says to you, do it. Isn't that the instruction that Mary gave at the marriage feast of Cana? Isn't that what she said? Whatever he says to you, do it. You know that hasn't changed. Whatever he says to you, do it. Just have no choice but mine, no will but mine. Well, that's the transforming that we're doing. Not my will, but thine be done. He doesn't want to take away your will. He wants a surrendered will. I like that. Now listen to this. You grab a holy... There's a seatbelt on your seat. Fasten the seatbelt now. God says, I am dependent on no agency when I am your supply. Did you hear that? I am dependent on no agency when I am your supply. Through many channels, my help and material flow can come. God, that is good. Again, I don't care if a three-legged turtle walks up on my porch with $100 bills in its mouth. However God wants to send it, that's fine with me. I don't care. You know. I wrote this little note to myself. It says, being busy with Flatlander work, let's say it this way, three-dimensional work, will never accomplish the purpose of God. And what I'm thinking there, it is, see, right on the other hand, I could teach the flip side of this coin. See, really, to get things accomplished here, he has to have a body here. We are that body. In a sense, he needs us to do work here that he wants done, that he really can't do without us. Did you ever notice Jesus did no miracle once he got his glorified body? No, you got to have a body, and I don't totally understand this mystery, I just know it's true. In order to function here with dominion, you have to have in this, for some reason, a body from the first man Adam. Because I notice nobody that leaves the planet ever does any miracles. Once they get a new type of body, that's the end of it. Okay? So that's why he had to leave us here in these. I used to think he was just mean. My body, I started to say stinks, but it doesn't really. I showered. My body has a lot of, it gives me trouble at times, you know. My body, I would so like to have that new one. The one that isn't even tempted. Excuse me. Oh, God, give me that one. Oh, God, I'm looking so forward to that one, God. You know. But I understand it now. I'm not mad anymore. I understand. In order for us to accomplish a lot of kingdom business here, he doesn't have any hand to go feed the poor but yours. He doesn't have any wallet to give into an offering, any money except the ones that what we have. He doesn't have lips anymore to go preach his word and his will except ours. He needs our bodies. We are actually his body. But see, look how perfectly that is if we're his body submitted to his will. There it is. There it is. His body submitted to his will. And that is Galatians 2:20. Paul made it, we can make it. Now, Paul also said in his letter to the Philippians, he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, neither yet do I think I'm perfect. But forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are ahead, I press. I press. There's the message of the prayer center. I press towards that mark. Amen? Amen. So let me finish reading that little thing there, and it's time for the confessions. Being busy with flatlander work, or I could say even three-dimensional work, in our case, will never accomplish the purposes of God. They are not even really of the same type of activity. They're from two different realms. See? We are bound to the physics of this three-dimensional world and void of any of the operations possible by God from the higher dimensional realm of the Spirit. Lots more to come on that. Still chewing on all that. I'm looking forward to what's coming. I believe we shall operate in the anointing to such a degree we shall look back on these days and just laugh that it ever seemed so hard. Amen? Be as natural as breathing. Open the blind eyes? Sure. Bring them here. No problem. Glory to God.